Happy Mother's Day. Why don't we pray, and then I'll give you a little explanation of what we're going to talk about today. God, thank you for being good to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us your word. Thank you that your word is living and active, and you speak when we read it. I pray, God, that you would speak this morning as we read your word. Help us to know and love Jesus more and become more like him. In his name we pray. Amen. So, you notice how when I said Happy Mother's Day, no one said, you too? Right? I noticed that, and that, that begs the question, what should I talk about this morning? Because I am neither a woman nor a mother. And so, if you fall in either of those two categories, which sometimes is the same category, you might be thinking, what would you have to tell me this morning about being a woman or a mother? And, yeah, that's a very good question. Just because I have a mother and am married to a mother doesn't mean that I have a lot to say to mothers and to women. And so the thought was, well, let's just continue with Galatians. But it's Mother's Day, and you came out in the rain. So I think it would only be correct that we looked at something specifically for mothers and for women in general. And so, given the fact that I am neither of those, I thought, well, let's look in the Bible at what something that would be directly targeted towards that demographic, and so I don't have to make something up myself. And in the book of Titus, there's this letter that, well, the book of Titus is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to a young man. And in this letter, this young man was a leader. He was a church planner who helped Paul start and establish churches. And in this letter, Paul gives Titus some instructions about some specific things to teach to specific genders and even specific groups, age groups within those genders. And so I thought, well, why don't we read what Paul told Titus to teach women and mothers? Because that would be much more appropriate than me making something up. And if Paul is telling Titus to teach this to the women in the churches at that time, it would be, I think it would be an easy leap for us to read that and say, well, that's what I should teach the ladies who are here today. And so let's read this text together in Titus 2. We'll read it all in one sitting, and then we'll pick through it over the next few minutes. Titus 2, verse 1, but as for you, so he's talking, Paul is talking to Titus, as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, nor slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. And then he continues with young men and slaves and other demographics. The point is, so it's, he starts out by telling Titus, hey, you teach this to, in this case, what the parts that we're going to look at today, to the women in the church that you are establishing and getting on its feet. And so I take that to mean, well, that's biblical precedent for me to teach this as well. And then he also tells us why we would listen to this. If you are a man listening to the part that we read that was directed towards men, or if you're a woman listening to the part that we'll read that is directed towards women, he says, as for you, teach what accords with what? With sound doctrine. Well, what's he saying? It's a way of saying something that Paul says over and over and over again, that which is, if you believe the gospel, then there's a way of life that comes out of that. If you believe what the sound doctrine, if you believe that we are wicked and we rebelled against God. But God in love sent his son who to die on a cross and for us in our place and live a perfect life and then rise from the dead. And in him we can become the righteousness and the perfection of God. If you believe that, if you believe that God loves you and saves you because of his goodness, not because of your goodness, everything we've looked at in the book of Galatians up until this point, if you've been tracking with that, if you believe that, then there's a way of life that comes out of that. So teach what accords with sound doctrine. Teach what comes out of believing the gospel. We're not justified by these works. This isn't like a change from what we've been reading in Galatians. We're justified by putting our trust in Christ. And now today, well, you're justified by following this list of rules, as it were. No, we're justified by faith in Christ. But, and Paul says that earlier in this letter and later in this letter. Read it this afternoon. Read what's around this. But out of believing that comes a lifestyle, a way of living. It's an implication of the gospel. And the big idea that I see in the text, that in the instructions that Paul gives to women today in this text, is that the woman of God in Jesus' kingdom is extremely important. The woman of God in Jesus' kingdom is extremely important. As Paul gives the women of God these instructions, by the very merit of the instructions that he's giving them, that he's giving you, he's underlying your importance in the kingdom of God. And I think that this is a relevant thing for, bless you, that was too loud to not give an appropriate blessing at the end of. I think that this message of affirmation is very important in our day and time, as I'm sure it was then as well, maybe for different reasons. In our day and time, it's very important because many times this message of purpose and a high calling and the importance of the woman of God in the kingdom of Christ is not underlined and not underscored, or if it is, it's not perceived and it's not felt. In the church, it is many times a purpose is not perceived for women. It seems like the men are doing all the important jobs, and if you're listening to this on the audio recording, there's finger quotations being done, the important stuff. Well, that men do. So what do? I listen, I guess. That's in the home, many times purpose is not felt, and maybe for you it's different. I'm just speaking on what I have observed in life, which is not, is it biased, but it seems like many times children can be seen to be kind of a burden. They're a lot of work, and husbands are big fat slobs, and if we could just put up with them or get away from them, purpose is not oozing out of life, and so then everything around says find your purpose in something. Whether it's friends or family or even yourself, is you got to find purpose in something. You're not going to find purpose in church. You're definitely not going to find purpose at home. You got to find purpose somewhere in something, whether it's your career or hobbies or your body or the things that you buy or the attention that people give you, or in a good or a bad way, or power or knowing what's going on all the time. You find purpose somewhere in something. So sometimes that takes us down good paths, and sometimes it takes us down bad paths. But it's a search for purpose, and in Paul's instructions, he's saying in the kingdom of God, the woman of God has a huge purpose, has a high call, and is extremely important in the kingdom of God. And so as we read this, there's two things that he's going to show. He's going to show the image of what a woman of God should look like. And he's also going to show, he's going to hold up the purpose and the calling that God gives to his daughters in his kingdom. And I think this will help you today. If you're a Christian, it will be helpful to you because you'll see, it will affirm and encourage you in as much as you are fulfilling this call and living out this purpose. And it will exhort you, and it will guide you into even more fully living out the call and the purpose that God has for you. And if you're not a Christian this morning, if you're a woman and you're not a Christian and you're sitting here listening to this, you're, okay, what does this have to do with me? Well, this is God's way of showing you what it would look like for you to be his daughter and the call and the purpose that he would offer to you as part of his family. And if you're a man here today, wait till the end. There's something for us as well. As much as I would love to preach a sermon with no direct application to myself, I don't think that's biblical. So wait for the end. Stay awake till the end, guys, or wake up at the end, either way. Verse 3 says, older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior. When he says likewise, he's referencing back to verse 2. Which says, older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior. So same way, nothing different between the way a man of God should live in his reverent behavior and a woman of God should live in her reverent behavior. And even as he starts out with a high call. Well, what higher call is there to be? Well, he says reverent in behavior. What is he talking about? He's with the word reverent, he's connecting. He's saying you have a connection with God. And your behavior, your life is supposed to reflect that. You are God's daughter, and you have a connection with the King of the universe. He has adopted you into his family. There is no higher calling than that. There is no higher identity than that. And then that should be reflected in all of your life. He's not saying, what he is saying is that you are to reflect a reverence in your relationship with God. You're to be focused in your relationship with God. And in behavior, that's supposed to be seen in behavior in many ways, but particularly in living out the relationship with God. So by being women of prayer, by being women of the Word, by being women who fast and meditate on God's word, by being people who spend time with the Father, who reflect in your lifestyle and practicing the spiritual disciplines on a daily basis as part of your life, that this is a person who is reverent, who knows that I am connected with the King of the universe, and I hear his voice when I read this book, and he hears me when I talk to him, and we are connected. And that is seen in the way you live, to be reverent in your behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. He gives two specific applications, but I think in a general sense, he's saying, live with the maturity that concords. Remember how he starts, older women are not to be slanderers or slaves to much wine. Live with the maturity that goes along with your life experience, with what you know about life and the eternity, with what you know about how soon life is over. You know that it's not worth wasting life on frivolities. The eternity is close, is near at hand. And the more, the closer you are to eternity, the more that you should be aware of that and live in a way that is in agreement with what you know about God and the weight of eternity and the weight of souls that are far from the Father. You should live in a way that is redeeming the time, because you know that life is short for all of us. And his specific applications are not to be slanderers or slaves to much wine. And if you never have a problem drinking in excess, you're going to focus on that part of it and feel quite good, as you should. But if you don't have a problem with drinking in excess, focus on the other part, on the slandering, on the speaking ill of others and criticizing. Is there a positive word on your tongue? Maybe there's not wine going in, but there's negative speech coming out, saying don't be given to one or the other. And then look at verse 4. And so he's saying the older men, actually in the English translation, it comes in verse 3. Older women likewise, okay, are to teach what is good. Again, high call. You're to teach. You are to teach. You are not merely to listen and take in. You are to teach. You're to teach the gospel. You're to teach what is good. You aren't to be a miniature version of Oprah Winfrey spouting worldly wisdom to worldly problems. You are supposed to be a woman who knows God and is deeply connected with the Father and who teaches what is good, who teaches what is God's wisdom, who teaches what the way that someone who believes the gospel would react to life situations. You should be full of the Word of God and be teaching the Word of God. Continue in verse 4. You are to teach what is good and so train the younger women. And stop there. That is a high call. There's a task that God is giving to women that only women can do, that only women are supposed to do, who are supposed to disciple and train the younger women to be followers of Christ and to love Jesus and to repent and be baptized and then to obey everything that He has commanded them. Who are to teach the women that? The other women, that's your job, that's your role. I'm not supposed to. My role is not. There is one woman that I am supposed to disciple until death do us part, right? The other women in this church, or especially in our church downtown, I don't disciple them. I teach on Sundays, but the women are supposed to disciple the other women. That's something only women can do and are supposed to do from this text. You are entrusted and charged with discipling the other women, the younger women. And if you say, well, I am not an older woman, and who would not say that? Even though this is written specifically to women with more life experience, there is also an application in this that says there is always a woman who's younger than you, right? There's always a woman who has less life experience and less faith experience than you have. So even if you are, in your mind, a very young woman, there's always someone who has less life experience than you, and you are, in that person's eyes, you're an older woman. So this should apply to all women in one hand, especially to those who have more and more life experience. Okay, let me find my place and we will continue. And then we'll look at what he says to teach, that the older women are supposed to teach the younger women. As we look at this, what he's going to show is a picture of what a woman of God should be like. And he's saying, if you're a woman, you're supposed to teach other women to be like this, which kind of implies, doesn't it, that you are striving to be this way yourself. So it applies to all. To teach the younger women what is good. They are to teach what is... lost my place. And to train the younger women to love their husbands and children. So first thing, love your husbands and children. That's a high call. Saying, love your husbands and children. If you have husbands and children, a husband and children, you're supposed to invest your life in them. And this is not, remember, if you say, well, what about them? Just put that on one, come back on Father's Day. There's a second half to this, the second side to this. You're supposed to invest your life into your husband and your children. Well, why? Because what is love? It's not just the roses and the flowers and the hugs and I love yous. It is seeking the best for that person. And what does that mean? When you love someone and you're seeking the best for them, you sacrifice yourself for them. You sacrifice your time and your interest and what you want, and you sacrifice yourself to serve them and to guide them. You sacrifice for them to have the life that would be the best life for them, not necessarily the best life in a worldly sense, but the best life for them. And even more so, when you love someone, you sacrifice yourself so that they will have the best eternity possible. So that means you stay up later than you would rather, or you put pause on the television to read the Bible with your children. Just one little tiny application of this. You give yourself so that your husband and children will have the best, both physically and especially spiritually, which means that you have a huge role to play in them knowing Christ and in guiding them by your example and by your teaching and by your reading and by your sharing and by your encouraging to know the Lord and love the Lord. To be self-control. Teach the women to be, women teach the other women to be self-controlled, to control your decisions and your words and your emotions and your attitudes and your actions, to think well, to be in control of yourself, to not be governed by your emotions or be governed by your circumstances, but to think things through and be self-controlled, to be pure. When you hear the word pure, the first thing that comes to mind is sexual purity. So let's go there first. A woman of God should not be a woman who is making jokes with sexual innuendo, should not be a woman who lives her life in a fantasy world. If only my husband was like that person on that soap opera, it would be so romantic. But I'm not a woman, so I can't speak to this very well, but obviously there's something there because he put that there in the word. So you let the Spirit apply that to you. There's other areas of purity, though, where this would apply as well. Pure in speech, right? Without speaking falsehood, without lying, without deceiving, without gossiping, without speaking ill of others, pure in our feelings, without bitterness, without envy, without rage, being pure, being clean before the Father. And the next one is working at home, not being lazy in the work that God has given to you, being dedicated to the work that God has put before you. I think a good explanation and amplification of that would be reading Proverbs 31. Kind. Women, teach the women to be kind. How easy is it, this is for men and women, for us to teach each other to be mean and to, when things are not going well, to roll around in the dirt with each other. Yeah, they're horrible and they're bad and you should do this and you should say that, and teach each other to be kind with each other, kind in the way you speak, kind by helping people who don't deserve your kindness. And the last one, women, teach the other women to be submissive to their husbands. Now for some of you, I know you hear that and the first thing you hear is women teach other women to obey their husbands, and you click off and you say, nah, no, that's not that part of the Bible. I've already crossed it out. That's not applicable. It doesn't say obey your husbands. I've heard husbands tell their wives, the Bible says for you to obey me. Show me the verse. It's not there. It doesn't say obey. To be submissive, to follow their lead, to follow their guidance. The husband is supposed to guide his husband in the way that Adam did not when he sat idly by and let his wife talk with the serpent and then followed her. That should have been reversed. Husbands are supposed to guide their wives, and that's the speech for Father's Day, so come back. But women, you're supposed to follow your husband's guidance. It doesn't say if they're a good leader, because I know from experience, we never look like good leaders, even the few times when we are. It doesn't say when they're kind about leading. It doesn't say when, it says follow their leading. In the way that Jesus is submissive, it lives in submission to the Father. I only do what the Father has told me to do. Well, follow your husband's guidance. And the reason I think it tells older women to teach younger women to do this is because from the little bit that I've observed, it seems like this is a hard. My wife has told me. She said she said, I always thought that this was really, really hard. But then I read the flip side of what men are supposed to do in laying down their lives for their husbands, and that's even harder. But this is the part that is. This is my wife's words. Yeah, this is the part that is very difficult for all women to do. So I'm not a woman. I'm just quoting a woman. That may not be true. But I think the reason, if any of that is true, I think the reason Paul is telling older women to teach younger women to be submissive to their husbands is because it's really hard to navigate that. It's really hard to follow the leadership of an imperfect man when everything inside of you says, I could do that better, and I'm smarter, and the wisdom that older women can bring to younger women. In helping them to follow their husband's leadership. And if you're an older woman, there's a great responsibility on you to lead the other women to follow their husband's leadership. It's a high call that Paul has just described. All of this to reflect the person and the character of Christ. And then look at how he ends it. So he says, older women, live like this and teach the younger women, disciple the younger women, teach them to follow Jesus, to be like Christ. I'm paraphrasing. And then he says, why? So that the word of God may not be reviled. You underline the truth of God's word by the way that you live out the gospel, by the kind of woman that you are, by the way that you accept or reject God's call and purpose on your life, by the way that you embrace this is what it means to be a daughter of the King of the universe. This is what it means to follow my husband's leadership. This is what it means to love my husband and my children. This is what it means to be pure and kind. This is what it means to disciple other women. This is what it means to give my life to help other women be daughters of the King and live out the gospel in their life. When you do that, as much as you do that, you are underlying the truth of the gospel. You're underlying the power of God, of the power of the connection of you with the Father, that it is really true. That you're not just another person in this world, that you are someone who is living in submission to the King of the universe, and you're living the way you live your life because you love your Father, and because you are living as a daughter of the King, and as much as you reject that, and you say, no, that's not the way I'm going to live, he says, well, the gospel, it starts to be reviled, because you're saying one thing with your mouth, but then with your life, you're living something different. And so it is a high call and a huge responsibility that God has placed on you as women to live in the way that reflects who you are as God's daughters. Because as you do so, you cause people to look at what you say that you believe and say, there's something there. There must be something there, because the way she lives, there's no other explanation than that. Then she's living in submission to the King of the universe. She's God's daughter. The gospel is not reviled. In fact, it's believed by those who are on the outside. That is a high call. You underline and make the gospel appear to be as real as it is by living in submission to God. In the kingdom of God, the woman of God, the daughter of God, is incredibly important. So how should we apply this to our lives? Well, and this is for everyone. There's an implication for everyone, but the general application is for everyone. We should accept that in the kingdom, the woman of God is extremely important. So if you're a woman, you should fulfill the high call that God has given to you. The first question would be, how do you fulfill that call? Well, who has God given you? Who is the person that God has put around you that maybe is a little bit younger than you and a little bit less mature in the faith or in life than you, who you should be investing in? And what would it look like to dedicate yourself more to helping her be the woman of God that God wants her to be? The second question that would come out of this, of accepting the purpose that God is and the call that God has given you, is how can you, if you have a husband, if you have children, how can you better relate to them? How can you love them more? How can you invest your life more in them? How can you follow the leadership of your husband better? And the last question, what is there in your character that you need to change to bring in submission to the character of Christ, to become more like Christ, whether it's purity or kindness or reverence or not slandering? Well, what is it in your character that you could bring into submission to Christ? If you're a man, this is our wake-up cue, elbow in the rib, okay. If you're a man, especially if you're a husband, we need to affirm and support this high call in the women that God has put in our lives, especially, specifically, our wives. We should encourage them with our words. We should encourage them so that they know that we see what you do, and what as you do is what God has called you to do. It is very important, and it is a high calling, so that they know that what they do is worthwhile, that it's not just drudging through life, so that they know that they are not wasting their lives. We need to support them with our words and our encouragement. We need to support them by sacrificing for them. God calls the women to disciple the other women and to invest themselves in their families and to become like Jesus. We need to sacrifice ourselves so that our wives And specifically, if you are married, so that our wives can do that with their lives. It means not being so selfish with our time and our family time and our life and my life, and I just want to come home and plop down and turn on the TV and please bring me something to eat. Then we want our family time so that our wives can be free to invest their lives in other people the way that Paul is instructing them to, so that they can guide other people. And we need to equip them. We need to equip our wives. If you're married, we need to equip our wives by guiding them. We should be at the forefront of helping our wives read the Bible and pray and know Jesus and helping them become equipped so that they can guide other women and disciple other women. There is a way that I do disciple the women in our church. It's by discipling my wife. And as I equip her to disciple other women, then that's multiplied as she's discipling other women in our body. And children, if you're a child living under the authority of your parents, don't want to leave you out. Follow the leadership of your mother. She's in charge, in great part with your father, of helping you know Jesus. So lovingly submit to her and follow her so that her job is easy. And that's spoken as someone who made my mother's job very miserable as she tried to guide me to know the Lord. Don't do that. So, when we look at the high call of women in the kingdom, what do you need to do in your life to live that out or to support the woman that God has put in your life to live that out? And what will you do? Why don't we pray together and then we will sing. God, we come to you and we thank you for being good to us. Thank you for guiding us into all truth, Holy Spirit. And I pray that what we read today will challenge those who are your daughters, God, to enter more and more into the high call that you have given them, to live close to you, and to lead others to live close to you. And I pray, God, that it will challenge those who are not your daughters to enter into that and to say, yes, I want to be God's daughter. I want to have a high purpose and calling on my life. I pray, God, that what we read today will challenge us as men to support our wives and help them to grow into being that woman who is fully devoted to you. Show us, Holy Spirit, what each of us should do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.